1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And let me just say that this show does not interview celebrities. We don't do celebrity interviews. I'm going to try to be kind, but I guess it won't come out sounding very kind. The reason why we don't do celebrity interviews is we find, at least on the Phil Hendry Show, most celebrities to be fairly dull. However, when someone comes along who is interesting and exciting to us, then we make an effort to invite them on the show. And that's why, after I saw The Contender the other night, I said, you know what, I've loved everything that this guy has ever done. So we're going to get him on the show. And indeed, coming up Friday at 5 p.m., Gary Oldman is going to be our in-studio guest here on The Phil Hendry Show. Now, he doesn't do radio. He doesn't do TV. He does very few print interviews. Coming on this program means that he trusts us and certainly, you know, trusts that we're going to have a conversation with him that, you know, is about something that he can understand, that we understand what he does, etc. So if you're a Gary Oldman fan, and everybody is, a lot of people see him in movies and they go, who is that guy? And then they find out everybody's a fan of Gary Oldman's. If you saw Air Force One, which is kind of eye candy, or you saw Immortal Beloved about Beethoven, or you saw The Contender, or you saw Dracula, or you saw Sid and Nancy. I mean, some movies are great, some movies are bad, but every single thing this guy does is fantastic. So he's going to be with us on Friday at 5. I also want to say thanks to Joe Escalante over at Kung Fu Records, because we don't give this guy enough credit. If it wasn't for Joe, we wouldn't have a CD coming out every year. We wouldn't have our album coming out every year in CD and vinyl form, which is what we got coming out this year, CD and vinyl. We're going to have a compact disc for you, and we're also going to have a picture disc for you this year. The Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2000. The album's called The Number One Rated Phil Hendry Show, because we are number one rated, as crazy as it drives some people. So I want to thank Joe Escalante for helping us get that done, and every year he does. He's a very, very generous guy, Joe Escalante and Kung Fu Records. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We're going to have on an anger management guy to talk about the Roger Clemens, Mike Piazza problems. But first, for those of you that did not win tickets to see my show live at the Museum of Television and Radio, you still have another chance. You can see the show broadcast via closed circuit in the museum gallery. You won't get into the theater, but you get to see the show live. And the first 250 people to line up at the museum on November the 2nd will get into the gallery to see the show via closed circuit. There will be no lines permitted before 2 p.m., but the first 250 listeners in line will see the broadcast. So come down, line up, and see the show. All right, once Mike Piazza called Roger Clemens unstable and baseball began an investigation, it was clear where this day was headed. So on a travel day that required no travel, there was only one topic at Shea Stadium, and both teams agreed. The image of Clemens throwing the jagged barrel of Piazza's bat was sure to be a lasting image in this World Series. So starts a story in the CNN Sports Illustrated, and we have on the line with us an anger sports anger management consultant by the name of Vernon Dozier to talk to us about this bizarre behavior. I have to say, it looks even more bizarre on the part of Roger Clemens, but who knows? It's baseball. Who knows who's to blame? We're going to bring on Mr. Dozier to talk about this. And by virtue of the fact that you're an anger management guy, Mr. Dozier, to start off, I would ask you, I guess you think it's mostly Roger Clemens' problem?
First of all, Phil, thank you for having me on your program.
You're welcome. You're more than welcome.
I think something has to be said. I think that Roger Clemens, yes, has a problem with Mike Piazza. July 2000, Clemens aims a baseball at Mike Piazza's head and hits him with it. October 2000, Clemens again purposefully breaks the bat in Piazza's hands and then picks up the jagged edge and throws it at Mike Piazza.
When you say purposefully, what do you, can you give us a little clarification?
Well, it seems obvious to me that he purposely broke that bat so that he could have some kind of a weapon to...
How did Roger Clemens purposely break that bat?
Phil, Roger Clemens is a Hall of Fame pitcher. He has pinpoint control, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with the way he throws a baseball. He knows exactly what he's doing with a baseball when he's doing it. I think he aimed that ball in such a way so as to...
I mean, what you're saying that Roger Clemens, not only did he pick up the jagged end of the bat, he busted that bat on purpose.
He knows where to aim the baseball, yes.
So he aimed that baseball at either the narrow part of the bat or some part of the bat where it would likely break?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've seen this happen, Phil. And when you have pitchers, you can go back in history, whether it's Sandy Koufax, Jim Bunning, Tom Seaver, Steve Carlton, Dwight Gooden. All these guys have an ability to such pinpoint control that they can certainly affect a broken bat if they want to. And the same goes with Mr. Clemens and his ongoing dispute with Mr. Piazza. No, I think it was premeditated. I think baseball pitchers are good. They don't make them any better than Roger Clemens. This guy is not a little Red Riding Hood. He's not a tomato can. And Clemens was, I don't know how honest you want me to be on this.
I want you to be completely honest. You're telling me that Roger Clemens broke that bat on purpose so he would have something.
So he would have some kind of a weapon. I think that Roger Clemens, in his way, whether he realizes it or not, is trying to kill Mike Piazza. Now, Phil,
no, wait. That is some melodrama. You are being...
Phil, I have seen this before. I've watched. I think that Clemens has a problem with Piazza, and I think the reason why Clemens... Well, we can get into his reasons, but I think it's very obvious that the New York Yankee Ball Club has suffered such bad luck. They have had a run of some debilitating situations on that ball club that I think... need to be looked at. And Mr. Piazza's, whether Clemens was successful in killing Mr. Piazza the other night.
You're accusing Roger Clemens, sir.
Yes, sir.
Of trying to kill Mike Piazza.
I believe that Roger Clemens, in his own way, is trying to kill him. Yes, I do. I believe that Roger Clemens, in his own way, has tried to kill a number of people.
What are you talking about? Are you saying that he's purposefully trying?
I don't know if it's purposeful, Phil.
Are you saying he's trying to kill people?
Well, I would ask you to look at the record, sir.
No, just listen to yourself before we go on with this. Is he trying to kill...
I think he's trying to kill Mike Piazza. I think he tried to kill Joe Torre.
How did he try to kill Joe Torre?
You're looking at a ball club that had a run of some very bad luck. Joe Torre got prostate cancer last year. Last year, Daryl Strawberry got colon cancer. I think the energy that Mr. Piazza or Mr. Clemens emits is of such a negative nature, and I think it is endemic in his family. Go back to 1939. There was a man who worked as a groundskeeper at Yankee Stadium. It could very well have been Roger Clemens' father, and wouldn't it have been interesting for that man to have been Roger Clemens' father the very same year that Lou Gehrig got a little something called Lou Gehrig's disease.
You're telling me that Clemens, the reach of Clemens' negativity is so extreme that he gave Lou Gehrig Lou Gehrig's disease.
I think that he got Mr. Gehrig so unnerved.
Roger Clemens did.
No, I'm saying that there is a groundskeeper or there could have been a clubhouse man who could have been Roger Clemens' father who unnerved and pissed off, if you'll pardon my language, Phil, and please forgive me. I know it's early in the afternoon.
All right, but just, you're saying that...
I think the man's totally toxic.
You're saying that you think that Clemens killed Mike... he hasn't killed Mike...
No, he hasn't killed Mike Piazza yet, but I think he's trying to kill Mike Piazza, or Piazza. And I think he's tried to kill Joe. I think he has a lot of negative energy going on there, Phil. And what I'm saying is that... he saw the fact that Mike Piazza is a much, much better ball player against him. Clemens needs immediate restorative calm therapy, I think, is all there is to it.
Do you know what the lifetime, and by the way, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. He is an anger management consultant, works with a lot of baseball teams. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. He says that subconsciously Clemens is trying to kill Mike Piazza, you know, I can't even say his name now, listening to you call him.
Did I mispronounce it?
Well, you're calling him Piazza or Piazza. His name's Mike Piazza, okay?
Mike Piazza. I beg your pardon.
Hold on. What is the lifetime record of Piazza against Clemens?
Lifetime. Piazza's got a fantastic record. He's 583, 7 hits, 3 home runs, 9 ribbies. He owns Clemens. Mr. Piazza owns Clemens, and I think Clemens knows that. He knows he's a flop, not only as a baseball player, but in many ways as a man against Mike Piazza. And I think it would be an interesting conversation to have with Roger Clemens' wife. I have no idea whether or not he is married or not, but it would be interesting to find out on any given night after Mr. Clemens has pitched to Mr. Piazza If Roger Clemens was able to get it up, because I really think...
Now you're... Okay, wait a minute.
No, I really think that Piazza has this guy's number to the point where after he pitches and feeds up a gopher ball to a Mike Piazza, he goes home and he can't get it up. Now either...
Okay, that part of the conversation, can we exclude?
Oh, I'd be happy to, Phil, but I'm making the point I'm making.
No, the point you're making is that Mike Piazza owns Roger Clemens' head.
I think he does, and I think what Clemens needs is immediate restorative calming therapy. I think a simple mental affirmation. We use a lot of them.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get to. I want to get to how does a man who is in the throes of such anger calm himself down, bring himself back to reality?
There are a lot of things. We call them restorative affirmations, Phil, mental affirmations. There is one that we use to great effect with people. It's a very childlike refrain, but it's something that we use to great effect with adult men who have anger problems.
And this is an affirmation.
Right. It gets, roses are red, violets are blue, I don't know why I'm mad, how about you? And if you do that, when you're angry, and I'm sure you've been angry, Phil, if you could think back on a moment when you were angry in your life. In fact, right now, can we do that?
All right, we need to take a commercial break.
But just... Can you think back at a moment?
Yeah, I can think back at an angry moment.
All right, now I want you to put yourself in that position. Now say the affirmation.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I don't know what I'm mad about. How about you?
Correct. How do you feel?
Well, I'm not angry, but that's been a long time.
Is there anything right now making you angry?
Yeah, there's something.
All right, can you do the affirmation?
All right, roses are red, violets are blue. I don't know why I'm mad. How about you? I guess I feel better.
It is a simple affirmation, Phil, that I think helps Roger Clemens, who right now wants to commit homicide against Mike Piazza. And he wants to kill him, and he wants to do away with him, because Piazza has a lifetime .583 batting average against Clemens. And Clemens can't even, perform sexually. I mean, I don't know, but he probably can't perform sexually after he pitches against Mr. Piazza. So these are the things we're talking about. And
all right, hold on for a minute. Vernon Dozier, you're a sports...
Phil, I do sports anger management.
Sports anger management. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Dozier's with us. He says that Roger Clemens subconsciously is trying to kill Mike Piazza. Piazza, because roses are red, violets are blue. I don't know what I'm mad about. How about you? Because he is basically lifetime a .583 hitter against Roger Clemens. 7 hits, 3 homers, 9 ribbies. He pretty much has got a sweet thing going against Roger Clemens. And you know what happened the other night? Was it subconscious or was it on purpose? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. +1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier is a sports anger management consultant. You've watched the series. We're into game 3 tonight, Mr. Dozier. We've seen 2 games of this series. The game on Sunday featured Roger Clemens in a pitching performance that was quite impressive, wouldn't you say?
I don't have any doubt. I have not said that Roger Clemens is a bad pitcher.
But what you are saying is that he is subconsciously trying to kill Mike Piazza by throwing the busted end of the bat at him, by giving Joe Torre cancer, by giving...
I think with the bad vibrations he's putting off, he's given some guys some cancer, yeah. And I think that that he can be helped, Phil. I think that's what I'm trying to say is...
By saying things like roses are red, violets are blue, I don't know what I'm mad about, how about you?
I am saying that's a simple affirmation, but I'm saying sometimes those work.
Okay, I'm just asking. I want to bring on a gentleman now in Tampa, Florida. I'm told, sir, that you're a former pitcher and coach in Tampa.
Yeah, I'm driving my car and I'm listening to the show. And
yes, sir.
I've never called in on a show in my life.
Yes, sir.
I'm 59 years old. I've been in professional baseball for 35 years,
mm-hmm.
And I've been a major league pitcher and I've been a major league pitching coach.
My name is Vernon Dozier, sir. I'm a big baseball fan.
Well, I've also been Roger Clemens' pitching coach in Boston in 1996.
You worked with Roger Clemens in Boston.
I know Roger Clemens very well. I know his family. I know the kind of person he is.
Sir, this is Vernon Dozier. So this is Vernon Dozier, sir. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why would Roger want to kill Mike Piazza?
Because that's the thing that the reason I'm on this phone right now is that's the most absurd statement I ever heard. To say that he subconsciously wants to kill Mike Piazza is absolutely absurd. If you watch the replay of the game where he threw the bat, he was looking at the bat. The bat, a jagged end of a bat, almost stuck him right in the stomach. He was lucky to catch it. He should have been getting out of the way of it, but he caught it. He picked it up. He threw it toward the foul territory, and then he saw Piazza coming. Go look at the replay.
All right. Did it look to you, sir, like Mr. Clemens was trying to impale himself on that bat?
For whatever reason, Roger's such a competitor, he should have been getting out of the way of the bat.
Sir.
But he caught the bat, stayed in front of it, caught the bat, grabbed it, and threw it into foul territory. And if you watched his head, if you paid any attention, his eyes didn't even see Mike until the bat was in the air.
Norman, why did Joe Torre get cancer?
Well, good Lord, why did my best friend die last year of cancer?
Had he been around Roger Clemens is all I'm asking.
I've been around Roger Clemens, and I don't have cancer.
You don't have cancer? Your friend.
How about all the guys that played for 12 years with Roger in Boston? They don't have cancer. How about all the managers in Boston?
Now, didn't he play with Oil Can Boyd up there?
Oh, yeah, but what are you?
Boyd, I thought, was out of his mind.
Well, what are you saying he did to Oil Can Boyd? He drove him out of his mind?
Oil Can Boyd went completely out of his mind.
What is your name, Vernon Dozier?
My name's Vernon Dozier, sir. Yes, sir. I do anger management.
I don't know where you're coming from. This is the most absurd thing. That's the reason
saying, Mr. Dozier, you're saying that he gave Joe Torre cancer.
I'm saying that the bad vibrations that Clemens puts off can give a guy prostate cancer.
That's the thing. I've been around the man. Roger Clemens puts off great vibrations. He's a great team player.
Can I ask you a question? And I don't mean anything by this, sir, but when you urinate, does it burn at all?
No.
Why are you asking him that?
I'm asking in terms of his prostate health. Does it burn?
In terms of my prostate health?
Yes, sir.
Well, when I urinate, it doesn't burn, no.
Clemens hasn't gotten to you yet.
What has it got to do with anything? Are you saying Clemens gave him prostate cancer?
No, I'm saying he worked closely with him. All I'm trying to tell both of you gentlemen is Roger Clemens has a controllable anger problem.
He does not.
He does
you're
not.
Trying
so,
to make yourself some money or something. I don't know what you're trying to do.
I am simply saying to you. Am I right when I say that Mike Piazza owns Clemens? You know he owns him. Okay.
Of course he does, and that happens a lot. There's a lot of superstar pitchers that have gotten worn out by somebody. That don't mean that they subconsciously want to kill him.
Well, then why? Then again, why did he try? Then he was trying to kill himself because I saw him try to make a move by stabbing himself with that bat.
Blows my mind that
What are you talking about? He tried to stab himself with the bat.
I thought I saw that. Clemens tried
to. How did you get on the show? Is what I want to know,
sir. I've been doing sports anger management for the last 10 years, and
I've never heard of you. And I've been in the major leagues for the last 35 years, so I've never heard of you.
Well, sir, you're one of the old timers. I'm one of the newcomers. But what I'm saying is that
I tell you what, if you get involved in baseball, I'm retiring. I'll tell you that right now.
I can help Roger Clemens, but if he's trying to kill himself by impaling himself,
you can help Roger Clemens by not talking the way you're talking is what you can do. Because all you're doing is stirring the pot.
No, sir.
Roger Clemens is a great pitcher. Roger Clemens is going to the Hall of Fame.
Roger Clemens
is
a tremendous
fine man.
I don't doubt
that. Family.
If he doesn't go to prison first, is all I'm saying.
Oh man, I'm
look at. I want to see Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame. Do you want to see him sitting in the electric chair? Do you want?
Wait a second. What are you talking about?
This man is sick.
No, sir.
I can't believe you got him on your show.
I have it on good account. Roses are red, violets are blue. I don't know why I'm mad. How about you? And all you have to do
is... You want Roger Clemens to say that so that he doesn't throw another busted bat at Mike Piazza. See, I can't even say the guy's name anymore.
Piazza. I'm telling you... Well, okay, fine. I'll shut up.
Yeah, great. Listen, sir, in Tampa, thank you very much for your call. What's your name, sir?
Yeah.
What is your name?
My name is Sammy Ellis.
Okay, Sammy, thank you so much. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show as we talk with anger management consultant Vernon Dozier about Roger Clemens and his bat throwing at Mike Piazza. Now, Mr. Dozier, you have already said you believe that Clemens subconsciously is trying to kill Mike Piazza, right?
I believe that, yes.
Do you think he's going to try it again?
I think he's going to make another move on him. I don't know whether it's going to be with a baseball, with a bat. It could happen before. It's easy enough, Mr. Henry, when you're a when you've got credentials, you can get into a clubhouse. There's a lot of towels lying around.
So?
A towel makes a very handy device to strangle a man. And
so Roger Clemens is going to get into the Met clubhouse and try to strangle Piazza?
I think it's possible, and I think if you ignore these possibilities, I think you're being stupider than you think I am. Now, I'm going to tell you something.
Let me ask you something. Rather than, you know, talk about all of this, why don't we talk about how you manage someone's stress, how you manage someone's anger. What do you advise? You mentioned roses are red, violets are blue. I don't know what I'm mad about. How about you? That's something you have them say?
Well, it is a very childish affirmation, but there's a lot of different things.
Well, give me something that's more adult. What would you tell a Roger Clemens?
I would say you can do that. I would say, you know, one of the great, great anger relievers is just to get into a car, get into an automobile, roll the window down, just air it out, get on the freeway, and just air it out. Get on the freeway, yell if you want to, turn the radio up loud.
Okay, so when you're trying to deal with anger, get in a car and go onto the freeway?
Well, yes, but another thing is not very respectful, but you can do this. I found out from the police that it's technically not against the law to tell a cop to go to hell. Now, I will tell you this, Phil, and excuse my language.
Yeah, thank you.
But you could go up to a cop and tell him to go to hell, and he can't do anything to you. And that is very cathartic.
Have you tried this?
I have tried some of these techniques, yes. I've got in my car, just got on a nice, beautiful, open highway, rolled the windows down, started screaming at the top of my lungs, and just sailed down the freeway. They'll give you 10 miles of the speed limit. So if it's a 55, technically you can do 65, 70.
And have you told a cop to go to hell?
I have not done that, but I know that technically it is legal, and it feels good. I respect the police. I love the police. But just telling a cop, hey, cop, go to the underworld, feels good.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us here. We'll take a phone call, 1-800-449-8686. How should Roger Clemens deal with his anger against Mike Piazza? Here is Ashland on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
That guy there, Vernon, he's a nut. I mean, Nick, I think he's like a snake out of some kind of mental institution.
I'm out of a mental institution. I'm trying to keep people from getting into mental institutions, sir.
You say like that he is trying to kill
subconsciously he is trying to give members of the New York Mets cancer, yes, sir.
I think subconsciously, man, you got something wrong with you. And then you say he's going to grab him a towel and possibly strangle him?
There are a lot of ways to kill him.
Athlete.
Oh, are you telling me that Roger Clemens doesn't want to hurt Mike Piazza?
No.
Go ahead. Tell me that with a straight face.
He does not want to hurt Mike Piazza.
That's why he threw a baseball at his head.
Well, now, I mean, you know, that's part of baseball.
Oh, I see. Giving a guy a concussion is part of baseball. I got you. Nice going, Ace. It's not
going
to work.
It's been going on since baseball's been there. And but still.
How long has baseball been there?
Getting a man in the head with a baseball and killing him and subconsciously wanting to kill him and subconsciously you say that he can't perform with his wife because of Piazza. I doubt that you're even who you are. And if I was even with this radio
station, you know as well as I do that stress. You know from your own life, sir, that you can't make love to your wife after you've been frightened by something. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah, I can. You probably can.
Yeah, sure. No,
you
I think
now. Even married.
No, I'm listening to you. I can read.
Problems.
First of all, I'd like to thank President Bush for calling the program.
You got
but I would also like to say, sir, I will tell you this much. I can tell by the sound of your voice that you've more than once had to say to your wife, honey, can I just take a break?
Oh, yeah.
Listen,
you're not, man. I mean, sir, you are. I don't believe these people got you.
All right, hold on for a minute. Who's kidding who here? Because both you guys.
Phil, I'm trying to tell this guy everything I'm saying has scientific basis.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
None of it does. You're nuts.
Let me ask you a question. How many baseballs have you taken off the head?
Huh?
How many times have you been hit in the head with a baseball?
Maybe twice in my life.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Buddy, it sounds like you've taken a whole batting practice off your head.
Well, I don't think anybody did.
You don't think anybody did what?
Took a whole batting practice off their head.
I think that Mike Piazza.
He hit him one time, and even if he did hit him that time, that don't mean he's trying to kill him. If he was wanting to kill him, let me tell you something. If he was wanting to kill him, the first pitch of the last game, he would hit him right between the eyes.
Could you repeat that?
If he was wanting to kill Mike Piazza, the first pitch of game two to Piazza, he would hit him right between the eyes with him.
Well, I don't know. What about giving Joe Torre cancer?
Whatever he wants it.
What about giving Joe Torre cancer?
Oh, you're a fool. And let me ask you this. My radio broke up. You got to let me hear this because this has got to be one of the funniest things I ever heard. What was it you said about Lou Gehrig's disease and Roger Clemens' dad? Because my radio broke up.
I'm simply saying that it's possible that Roger Clemens' father was a groundskeeper and passed some of the stress and gave him Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, I bet he was. And, you know, it's possible Roger Clemens' grandpa was, like, there on the cross with Jesus, I guess.
Yes. If you want to start making fun of my religion, yes, it is possible.
I'm a Christian myself. But
you're a Christian,
you're
making, huh? You know something? I think your head looks like a beanbag. That's how many baseballs you've taken off of it. And maybe you're that.
Okay, fine. Listen, thank you, sir. The Ashland caller, your phone's breaking up, but I thank you very much.
I think it's a heck of a thing for you to make fun of Jesus Christ, too, sir. I really do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Boy, that guy.
What?
I think that guy lives on Love Canal.
All right, here is Proctor Vermont on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. This guy is absolutely crackers. I don't know where you dug him up from, but you better bury him back up again.
Oh, listen to you. You know something about baseball, baby?
Do I know something about baseball, baby? Yeah, I do.
You're abroad, okay? That's number one. Number two, I've played baseball. And Roger Clemens.
I think you've been bean too many times.
Yeah, is that it?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what else to say to somebody that's in your mental state.
What do you know about baseball?
What do I know about baseball?
Right.
Well, I've been watching.
Let me ask you a question. How many balls have you taken off the chin?
I didn't take one off the chin. I took one right straight between the eyes.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Had surgery, huh?
No,
okay.
I didn't need it.
No, he had surgery.
Who's he?
The guy who only had one ball.
All right. I got to go. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and I like these Lillian Vernon catalogs you bring in, Melissa. You guys know who Lillian Vernon is? Neither do I. But she's got these catalogs, and then I opened up, by the way, this is the number one rated Phil Hendry Show, and our CD, entitled the number one rated Phil Hendry CD, and our vinyl, entitled the number one rated Phil Hendry vinyl, that's going to be out, ought to be any day now. Didn't we get the word on when those CDs are going to be delivered? Any day now. We're going to have our first appearance mid-November, and we're also going to have an 877 number so you guys can call up and order the very best of the Phil Hendry Show year 2000. And you know what else? I'm going to be on the cover of a national magazine very soon. I'm not going to say which one. Craig's mouthing, which one? You can tell me. I work for you. Anyway, Lillian Vernon's catalog. I was asking you're Melissa. What's my wife's name? Maria. I was asking Maria, do you know who Lillian Vernon is? Oh, sure. Sure, everyone does. I got no idea. Then I opened up the inside page, and there's a picture of Lillian. She looks to be a, you know, fairly content-looking woman in her, like, what would you say, early 60s? And she has on her silk pajamas, and she's stirring something. You know, she looks like a woman who has somewhere out near the solarium a husband who's 20 years older than her. Maybe he's called the Colonel. He has an oxygen mask on, and you can hear the thing just... I called you here, Mr. Hendry. Keep Lillian happy, all right? Well, sir, you're married to her. Yes, of course. You know how to keep a woman happy. Well, I'm a married man, sir.
Does $50,000 sound pretty good for the first week?
I'll take it.
Thank you.
Anyway, there's a guy, and he's got a towel across his knees, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's sitting in the solarium, and the sun is coming in, and Lillian's very concerned for his health, and she's making stew in the kitchen. And then she has to run off to a flower show, and there's some sassy black maid who, I told Mr. Colonel you can't sit out in that sun. No how.
Oh, God damn it, here comes the Negro.
That's right. You're going to take yourself a bath. Well, don't turn off my ventilator. No. Anyway, that's, I think, with Lillian Vernon's life. But she has a catalog, and she has really cool stuff in it. Or, well, I say really cool stuff. Some of it's frightening. Some of it, I don't even know what you'd use it for. She's got a lot of kitchen stuff. And then she has a thing here. Hand-painted ceramic napkin lady. Now, this graces your dining table or buffet, makes it easy for guests to help themselves. Beauty is based on the homes 50 years ago. Stands serenely with 10 slots. So the napkin lady has 10 slots that you can put your napkins into. And she stands serenely there and holding your folded cloth or paper napkin and that forms her skirt. 10 inches tall, a rare find and a collector's treasure, except that Lillian will keep on making them until she can't sell anymore, and then she'll stop. So in a collector's treasure, they're going to be giving these things away at a Salvation Army in about 5 years. Would you like a napkin, lady? We have 10 of... I saw that in the Lillian Vernon catalog. Well, we've got a lot of them in the back. Here's a welcome guests with glowing pineapples. The international symbol of hospitality, opulent nickel-plated brass candle holders are standard tapers that tuck into the center. Anyway, it's a candelabra that's shaped like a pineapple. So you can get that while Lillian's dishing up that soup and the colonel is up there in the solarium just, you know, trying to get out, trying to figure a way to get out from underneath all those taxes. Here's one here that's kind of interesting. Hand-painted ceramic fruit plates for serving or showing off. Black holes let you hang them on the wall, but they're so bright and, quote, appealing. You'll use them to serve candy, cookies. I've seen these. Chalkboard is a great communicator. You know, you're making fun of that. I hang one of these up in my house, Melissa. We have a chalkboard in our kitchen where Maria writes, welcome to our home. That's what we have on a chalkboard. It says, welcome to our home. And people always put down things like, what about it? Or so what? Or thanks. Nice house. Who are you? Disguise a boutique-style tissue box with a stack of leather-bound classics. Handsome, hand-painted ceramic book sculpture has The Scarlet Letter, Vanity Fair, and The Great Gatsby painted in rich blue, green, and maroon with golden edges and tiles. But you see, it really isn't The Scarlet Letter, and it really isn't Vanity Fair, and you're not really reading The Great Gatsby. It's just a box to hide a box of toilet paper. So, lest your friends think you actually read, you go, not really, Bob. See? You can wipe your rear end. Thank you. You're welcome. Now, that was a really good idea. Melissa had this idea, and she wants to have a stand that hangs in the living room with toilet paper hanging right on the stand. So, in other words, if you got to go up and use the bathroom, why wait till you get there to see if there's any toilet paper when you can just grab it right there in the living room and walk into the can? So you have a stand. It looks like a hat rack or it looks like a coat rack, but hanging off of it are rolls of toilet paper. Okay, I think that's about it for the Lillian Vernon catalog, isn't it? Yeah, that's about it. By the way, I took the kids to eat at that place that I wanted to take them to eat at, which was that Northwoods Inn place where you can eat the peanuts and throw the shells on the floor, and they had really cool old snowshoes hanging on the wall, and they had deer heads hanging on the wall, and I'd forgotten, but they had paintings of naked women hanging on the wall too. But that's okay, isn't it? Isn't it all right to allow a kid to see the painting of a nude woman as long as it's like 200 years old? Well, women don't look like that anymore. Oh, okay. Come on in, sit down. It's like taking him to a museum. And, you know, there's David, and the guy's, for all the world to see, standing there. Don't they have a statue of David at the L.A. County Museum of Art? There's a nude guy out there somewhere. But it's cool because, well, it's, you know, it was 3,000 years ago, and they were small then, and it's fine now. You know. So I took the kids over to this thing, and as we were driving there, Maria said, oh, my God, Fuddruckers. And the kids are, whatever. And she goes, look. And sure enough, right up there on the hill was a Fuddruckers. Now, I don't know if you remember Fuddruckers. Do they advertise at all on any radio station that we're on, here in L.A., anywhere? Find out now. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and make fun of them. Fuddruckers has got some hamburger in there, man, that, oh, boy, I don't know where they got it. No, it's pretty good. It's actually, it's fun. You go into Fuddruckers, you make your own burger. So you get the burger, and you go down the line, and you put lettuce and all that stuff on it. Well, there was a period there, the burger tasted, it was pretty bad. So you had to cover up the taste of the bad burger by, and basically what Fuddruckers was for a long time was, let's see if you can camouflage the taste of a crap burger by putting enough lettuce and stuff on it. So I used to go into Fuddruckers and I would do that. And I'd say, the concept's fantastic. Why am I not enjoying myself? This is great. I can put on as many onions or pickles or tomatoes or anything I want on this really neat hamburger. And it was a big one, right? They were big hamburgers. And I just, week after week, trip after trip, I wasn't enjoying myself. This is no good. And I finally figured out, the burger tastes bad. It's just not a good burger. So I, you know, that's when I would leave Fuddruckers and I'd go to Carvel's. And do you ever remember Carvel's? Because it was an ice cream place. I know they don't do it anymore. I don't even know if Carvel's is around here, but they had a fat man. I think he might have been the owner of the thing.
And he talked like he had cream cheese he shoved up his rear end, you know? Hey, welcome to Carvel. Billy guys, ice cream, cake, and everything.
The guy sounded like within moments, thrombosis. That he'd been living on ice cream. That the, in other words, if he didn't get ice cream, he'd die. Forget about it. He could have salads. He could have steak. But if he didn't get ice cream, he would die. Because he's the ice cream man.
And I'll tell you something right now. At Carvel, we have juicy ice cream cake. And
I'm going, I got to go to a Carvel now. I have to go and I got to order ice cream. Because it's one of those guys, there's something about, am I right or am I wrong? Isn't there something about a fat man that advertises food where you, it's all it takes, just you'll go there and eat there? If you see a fat chef or the fat owner of a restaurant, you will go immediately there and eat there. What if you see some slender model? Hi, come on down to Dooley's Steakhouse. And she's like anorexic. She looks like one of those chicks in Drop Dead Gorgeous, you know, where she has like kind of the blanched face, the bad hair, and she's in a wheelchair. Like Bob's Big Boy. The reason why Bob's Big Boy was so successful is a fat kid with a burger. Just a big, fat, punk kid standing out there going, hi, with the little wispy hairdo and his overalls. I'm not going to tell you what I did with a Bob's Big Boy one night after dropping, it wasn't acid, but it was something close. Let's just say we wrapped a chain around the bottom of it and dragged it down Colorado Boulevard. I'm just kidding in case you're trying to solve a 30-year-old crime. Bob's Big Boy. And then there was Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor, but we don't have to go into that. Man, I'm telling you, though, that anytime I saw a fat man, so that's the whole thing. And I think, wasn't there a chef, Chef Mike Roy? I don't think anybody remembers him, but he was on a local radio here, and he was a chef, and he had the cooking hour on some radio station, and the guy weighed 600 pounds. And he was,
well, it's good right now. We have ourselves a fantastic chef.
Not Paul Prudhomme. This was another. Paul Prudhomme's a tub of guts, too, and that's why I own his cookbook. But moving along. By the way, that's why I weigh 255 pounds, too. Okay, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.